So, Kathy, you've been hearing about PIK3 mutations for a long time. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it means. So, what does it mean and what might it mean for this patient?
Well, so for this lady, it could mean a couple of things. The PIK3CA mutations are fairly commonly seen as a mechanism of resistance to endocrine therapy. It is also the most common recurring mutation that's been identified in triple-negative breast cancers. Now, she had initially ER-positive disease with this long natural history and long periods of disease control on hormone therapy. Her most recent biopsy is triple-negative. So whether this is a mutation that her tumor has had during the time it was hormone sensitive, or whether this is something that arose as it lost the estrogen receptor expression, I don't think we know. For this lady right now, she's responding really well to the paclitaxel and is tolerating it quite well. So it's not something that we would immediately suggest a change in her therapy for, but there are several PI3 kinase inhibitors that are currently in clinical trials. So it does give the potential for some targeted therapy options in a trial setting for her at the time of subsequent progression.
So it's always difficult to try to figure out how, drugs that are just in development, what they might offer your patient. I can remember early stories when T-DM1 was not approved, and I would hear people, including you, Kathy, talking about patients they had on trials, and you would hear those stories and you go, well, that thing ought to be in practice like soon. And then other times you don't really know what you're hearing, Where do PI3 kinase inhibitors, I can't say I've heard a lot of great cases where people got it by themselves and had ibrutinib-like responsive type things. Is there anything there that looks that encouraging?
No, but maybe will be my answer. So I think it's been disappointing, certainly in the laboratory setting and looking at pathology series. It is a commonly found mutation. The drugs that inhibit that protein are quite potent inhibitors. It's the sort of thing that felt like it ought to work, and where we had great hopes that it might be effective as monotherapy and in patients with ER-positive disease in combination with hormone therapy. Those initial phase three trials, at least in the hormone setting, either were frankly negative, that the combination was not more effective, or there was only a quite modest improvement, but at the expense of significant toxicity. So I think that your impression that I'm just not hearing a lot of enthusiasm for those results is because of those clinical trial data. One of my scientific colleagues has looked at PI3 kinase inhibitors preclinically in the setting of triple-negative disease, specifically to ask if this is so common and these drugs inhibit this growth factor, why doesn't it work? And has identified a common escape pathway or sort of the whack-a-mole equivalent of if you inhibit PIK3CA, what pops up? So we've just launched a clinical trial looking at dual inhibition on the basis of that new scientific understanding. Now, hopefully, this will let us take much greater advantage of these agents. But this very first phase one trial just started. We've just enrolled the first two patients in cohort one. So I don't know yet if this will be the great thing you'll be hearing about these drugs in the future, or if this will be another great idea that, when put to the test in real-life patients in the clinic, is not as successful as we hope.
Just to clarify, though, I know there are sort of like, quote, pan PI3 kinase inhibitors and others that are different. Is there a way to sort of look at them more globally?
So we know that, like a lot of receptors, there are different isoforms that have different tissue specificities and different downstream effects. And a lot of question about, can we use that to either develop a specific inhibitor of one or the other isoform, or would a pan inhibitor be more effective? There are some real toxicity issues here. These are common signaling pathways. They have a function in healthy, normal cells as well. So this is a little bit trickier to take advantage of than something like HER2, where this is not commonly signaling in most healthy cells, but is unique to the tumor. These pathways have real functions in healthy cells. So while pan inhibitors might be more effective, there is also the real potential that they might be more toxic. The toxicity issues have particularly been hyperglycemia, hypertriglyceridemia, and the consequences of those things for many patients. Also, for a subset of patients, some mental health psychiatric toxicities with significant exacerbation of depression, even to the point of suicide in some patients. So toxicity will always need to be carefully evaluated with these agents.
So do I understand that this lady just has chest wall disease? Does she have disease anywhere else?
She has only chest wall disease, skin-only disease.
And how much of a palliative problem has this been? How concerned are you about the future for her? I don't know how many patients you have in your practice like this with just chest wall disease.
A couple. In her case, currently, it's not a palliative issue. She is not having pain, bleeding, or discomfort related to this, thankfully. But that certainly is a big concern of mine in the future for her. So currently, even with the progression across her contralateral chest wall, it's not really painful to her. It's not causing any local effects. She did say that she can feel it almost like an itching or a sensation. She's aware of it, but at this point in time, it's not causing major problems. But that is a big concern in the future.